Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of Kings. Old Testament pictures illustrate and model New Testament truths. Today, as we learn more about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, we'll also see that the people, the problems, and God's supernatural interventions are not so different from our lives today. With so many challenges coming against God's church and God's people, we need the right spiritual tools and biblical insights to stand firm and overcome. Pastor Steve's study in Kings will show us some very practical tools that may be used powerfully in these last days. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
2 Kings chapter 10, everybody. Righteous King Jehoshaphat's great-grandson, Jehu, has been called by the Lord to judge Israel's wicked King Joram, Ahab's grandson. So God says to Elisha, send one of your young fellows to Jehu and tell him you are going to judge the house of Ahab because of all the awful things they did to my prophet and my people. And also, too, you're going to judge evil, wicked Jezebel and wicked and weak king of Judah, Ahaziah. After dispatching Joram and Ahaziah, Jehu rides up into the town in Jezreel, and he looks out the window, and there's Jezebel, who is very much like the devil. I'll try to seduce you, often the devil says. Try to woo you into some activity that you will blow up your own life. Beloved, when that doesn't work, then the devil turns to his next tactic, intimidation. She, Jezebel, knew the history and uses it in such a way just to dig and try to take the legs out of Jehu. And I thought to myself, man, that's just like the devil today. Who knows your history? So if he can't kind of get you off the track by seduction, they're standing pretty firm. I'm going to change my tactics. I'm going to go to intimidation. Who do you think you are? Let's remember all the goofy things that you have done. And a part of you just wants to fold shop. Jehu yells up to the eunuchs that were attending her, hey, you eunuchs, how many of you are for me? And how many of you are for Jezebel? You better make up your mind. They looked at each other and they picked her up and chunked her right out the window. Splat! Fulfilling Elijah's prophecy, God called Jehu. Now I want you to watch what happens. Jehu is used in a huge, nationwide, massively effective ministry. Evil Joram and Jezebel and Ahaziah, they're put to death. Baal worship, as we're going to see in the balance of this chapter, is eradicated from Israel. All while Jehu is quoting scriptures and prophecy. I have a dream. I have a vision. I am focused laser lock on what God has called me to do. So it must be a God thing, right? Let's check it out. Verse 1, chapter 10. Now Ahab had 70 sons, really descendants, in Samaria. Remember, Samaria was the capital of the northern 10 tribes region. It's not God's capital. It's man's capital. And Jehu wrote and sent letters to Samaria, to the rulers of Jezreel, to the elders and to those who reared Ahab's sons or his descendants, saying, he's planning on executing all 70 of these guys. So he sends them a letter. Verse 2. Now as soon as this letter comes to you, since your master's sons, Ahab's descendants, are with you, and you have chariots and horses and a fortified city also, you got weapons. I tell you what, verse 3. Choose the best qualified of your master's sons, set him on his father's throne, make him a king, and come out and fight your master's house, or fight for your master's house. Okay, all you administrators there in the capital who aren't related to Ahab, choose the very best of Ahab's descendant, put him together with his best troops, and let's go for it. What do you think the response is? Verse 4, gulp. But they were exceedingly afraid, and they said, oh man, look at this guy. Two kings could not stand up to him. Remember, he had dispatched Joram and Ahaziah. How can we stand? And he who was in charge of the house, and he who was in charge of the city, and the elders also, and those who reared sons, the sons of Ahab, sent to Jehu, saying, we are your servants. We give up. King's X. We will do all that you tell us, but we will not make anyone king. Do what is right in your sight. They're basically saying, we better get with a new program. Jehu's the man. We're on your side. Verse 6. Then he wrote a second letter to them saying, okay, good guys. Now, if you are for me and will obey my voice, here's what I want you to do. Take the heads of the men, your master's sons, and come to me at Jezreel by this time tomorrow. Piling up some heads. A common practice of conquering kings. It's an effective way of demonstrating subjugation. Now the king's sons, 70 persons, were with the great men of the city who were rearing them. So it was that when the letter came to them that they took the king's sons and slaughtered 70 persons, put their heads in baskets, then sent them to him at Jezreel. Then a messenger came and told them, saying, okay, they did it. They have brought the heads of the king's sons. And he, Jehu, said, all right, lay them in two heaps at the entrance of the gate until morning. When Elijah is going to have a showdown with the prophets of Baal, how did God direct Elijah to do this? He didn't say, go in and start slashing and burning the 700 prophets of Baal. He said, I want you to set up your sacrifice with wood and the animal and all, but don't light it. I'll set up mine and don't light it. You call upon your gods, little g, and now I'll call on my one single God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And you guys know the story there on Mount Carmel. The Jezreel Valley is a beautiful valley. It's what you call an alluvial plain. So it's flat as a pancake. From a very flat alluvial plain, suddenly the steep incline of the mountains thrust out of the flat and gentle valley. And so you don't have to go up the hill very far before you literally are within earshot of everybody. It's a great podium of sorts. Everybody see that? And they're all, yes. If God is God, then serve him. How long are you going to waffle between two decisions? It's your choice. He was saying that to the people of Israel, but these prophets of Baal were Israelite as well. They had the chance to repent and change, and they didn't, evidently. And then, according to what the scripture says, false prophets are to be stoned to death. What Jehu's doing is something quite effective. He's utilizing a terror tactic of a conquering king. Let's pile up 70 heads in a basket. Let's keep reading. Verse 8. The messenger came and told him, saying, they have brought the heads of the king's son. And he, Jehu, said, lay them in two heaps at the entrance of the gate until morning for the whole city to see. So it was in the morning that he went out and he stood and he said to all the people, you are righteous. In other words, what happened is not your fault. Indeed, I conspired against my master. Joram is the king of the northern 10-tribe region. He's the son of Ahab. And Ahaziah is his either father or perhaps more likely an uncle. And I killed them. But who killed these 70? Verse 10. Know now that nothing shall fall to the earth of the word of the Lord, which the Lord spoke concerning the house of Ahab. For the Lord has done what he spoke by his servant Elijah. Now Elijah pronounced on Ahab that his house would be decimated. What Jehu is doing is he's saying, see these 70 heads? This is a God thing. He's quoting scripture. Ahaziah, Joram, Jezebel, and these descendants of Ahab have all been judged according to God's own word through Elijah. And we're not done. Verse 11. So Jehu killed all who remained of the house of Ahab in Jezreel, and all his great men, and his close acquaintances, Ahab's close acquaintances, and his priests, until he left him none remaining. Other than Ahab, did he talk about Ahab's priests and friends? I want you to write something in your margin here. Hosea 1, verse 4. He's the guy that God said, hey, Israel is in such terrible, terrible idolatry. In fact, Hosea, I got a job for you. What's that, Lord? I want you to fall in love with and marry a harlot. Your heart will be for her. You will love her with a deep devotion. But here's the thing. She will never be faithful to you. Because that is a picture of Israel who will never be faithful to me. He has two children, does Hosea. And the very first one he names, God instructs Hosea to name him Jezreel. And then he says, because the blood of Jehu's slaughter, I will require of him. What does that mean? Jehu, was he called by God, commissioned by the Lord to judge the house of Ahab? Yes, he was. He is so far using tactics that are not in biblical model that I can find. And this last little part of verse 11, all of his great men, all of the administrators of Jehu, who may or may not have an acquaintance or even an affinity of Ahab or the descendants, his close acquaintances, his priests, until he left none remaining. Hosea chapter 1 verse 4 says, Jehu went way beyond what God had called him to do. And in fact, because of it, Jehu's own lineage is going to be judged. And there's a peculiar detail that we'll get to at the end of how that's going to happen. Verse 12. And he arose and departed, did Jehu, and went to Samaria. And on the way, at Beth-Eked, Jehu met with some more of the brothers, or really acquaintances, of Ahaziah, king of Judah, and said, who are you guys? Remember, his mom is Athaliah, the daughter of Jezebel, who is steering Judah to the south into big-time Baal worship. And evidently, these guys have no idea of Jehu's intention. They answered, we are the brothers of Ahaziah. We're on our way there to Samaria. We have come down to the great sons of the king and the sons and the queen mother, Athaliah. Yes, we're related. Bad timing. Jehu said, take them alive. So they took them alive and they killed him at the well of Beth-Eked, 42 men, and he left none of them alive. Verse 15. Jehu departed from there, he met an interesting fella. His name is Jonadab. Jonadab. I know it's spelled Jehonadab, but he is also mentioned, and write this in your margin, Jeremiah 35, verses 6 through 7. Any of you have a Mormon background? Let me read you what Jeremiah 35, verses 6 and 7 says. Quote, we will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, you shall drink no wine, you nor your sons, forever. You shall not build a house, sow seed, plant a vineyard, nor have any of these. But all your days you shall dwell in tents, that you may live many days in the land where you are sojourners. So this is that Jonadab that Jeremiah talks about. Let's see what happens to him. By the way, Jonadab, his name means Jehovah is willing. I think a little looser translation, Jonadab's name could be rendered, yeah, God wants this. Let's see what happens with Mr. Jonadab. So then when they're departing after slaughtering 42 of those guys, they meet Jonadab, the son of Rechab, coming up to meet him. And he greeted him and said to him, is your heart right as my heart is toward your heart? What? Are you with me in this judgment ministry that I am involved in? Jonadab answered, it is. Yes, we are. Always have your Bible dictionary near and close at hand. Jonadab's name means, yeah, God wants this. Jehu says to him, are you fired up? Are you fired up as I am about this thing we're going to do? Yes, says Jonadab, let's go. Jehu said, if it is, give me your hand. So he gave him his hand. He took him up into the chariot. Then he said, come with me and see my, what's your word? Zeal for the Lord. You want to see a slamming ministry? We have passion. Come and watch our passion. I wrote in my margin, passion, although quite contagious, may or may not be obedience. Remember, Hosea says Jehu was out of bounds, over the top, so much so that God says, I'm going to have to judge his family. Harvest. Just because someone is passionate, sincere, zealous, doesn't necessarily mean they are in obedience to God's word. Let's watch what happens. So, they had him ride in his chariot. Come up on stage with me and let's all get together. And when he came to Samaria, Jehu, he killed all who remained to Ahab in Samaria until he had destroyed them, according to the word of God, which he spoke to Elijah. And there's Jonadab right alongside with him. And his name means, yeah, God wants this. Verse 18. Then Jehu gathered all the people together and he said to them, Ahab served Baal a little. Jehu, this guy, will serve him much. Now what he's doing, he is going to destroy the Baal worshipers in this region. And here's how he's going to do it. He said, remember Ahab and how Jezebel and him loved serving Baal? They were kids compared to how I love Baal. Jehu will serve him much. What's he doing here? Verse 19. Now therefore call to me all the prophets of Baal, all of his servants and all of his priests. Let no one be missing, for I have a great sacrifice for Baal. And whoever is missing, they shall not live. So the Baal people are going, so it's cool then if we all get together? I command it. Oh, great then. So all the Baal people are going to come out of the woodwork. Jehu is going to use deception to get all the Baal worshippers together to kill them. Is that a godly model, you guys? Proverbs 6, God hates a lying tongue. Six things the Lord hates, yea, even seven, are an abomination. Number one, lying tongue. Who brought Jehu to the forefront of ministry? God did that. He has a national ministry. He has a growing following of passionate people. He's got Jonadab with all of his boys around. We got passion. We got zeal. Yeah, but God says, don't lie. Yeah, I'm using a little dishonesty, but it's getting God's will done. And after all, the end justifies the means. Is this a God thing, guys? By their fruit, beloved. By their fruit, beloved. No matter how contagious their zeal, no matter how sincere their preaching, no matter how focused, I have a vision. I have been sent by God. That is partly true. But his methods are not biblical. But Jehu acted deceptively with the intent of destroying the worshipers of Baal. Because God hates Baal people, doesn't he? What's the real answer? He doesn't hate Baal people. He hates what Baal does to people. Verse 20, and Jehu said, proclaim a solemn assembly for Baal. So they proclaimed it. Then Jehu sent throughout all of Israel, and all the worshippers of Baal came, so that there was not a man left who did not come. So they went into the temple of Baal, and the temple of Baal was full from one end to the other. Verse 22, and he said to the one in charge of the wardrobe, bring out vestments. I'm going to put on the priestly robes of Baal. Give me the biggest hat and the coolest vestiges. So he brought out the vestments for them. Then Jehu and Jonadab, what does Jonadab's name mean? Yeah, God wants this. By the way, you know what Jehu's name means? Jehovah is he. Jehovah is he. There was a prophet earlier in the word that we saw in the book of 1 Kings, I believe, and his name is also Jehu. The name means the same. Jehovah is he. With your Jesus glasses on, I think Jehu is serving nicely as a model of the Antichrist when he comes to the forefront and is embraced by the people. Because after all, he's getting God's work done. I think there's yet one more model that Jehu is affording to us. Verse 23. Jehu, Jehovah is he. And Jonadab, God wills it, the son of Rechab, went into the temple of Baal, and they said to the worshippers of Baal, search and see that there's no servants of the Lord, Jehovah God, here with you, so that we are only worshippers of Baal. So he wanted to make sure all the real worshippers of God weren't going to be in on this massacre. He sets them outside, if there were any. Verse 24, so they went in to offer sacrifices and burnt offerings. Now Jehu had appointed for himself 80 men on the outside, and had said to them, look, if any of the men whom I have brought into your hands, if they try to make a break for it, tries to escape, whoever lets that guy escape, it shall be his life for the life of the other. A ring of guards outside of the temple. Don't let anyone leave here alive. Verse 25. Now it happened as soon as he had made an end of the offering of the burnt offering, that Jehu said to the guard and to the captains, go! Go in and kill them. Let no one come out. And they killed them with the edge of the sword. Then the guards of the officers threw them out and went into the inner room of the temple of Baal. And they brought the sacred pillars out of the temple of Baal, and they burned them. And they broke down the sacred pillars of Baal, and tore down the temple of Baal, and made it a refuse dump, a latrine. Thus Jehu destroyed Baal from Israel. On the one hand, yay! Wait a minute. How did Elijah do it? He waited for an obvious demonstration of the real God.
You've been listening to the Book of Kings with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.